Great story, the Christmas story, isn't it? And that's, I'm going to give it up and leave it down there now. And that verse just before the end, verse 37, for no word from God will ever fail. What a statement that is. No word from God will ever fail. It had all been going so well. Mary's life was going well. And for her, a teenage girl, the sense of life just beginning. She had love, she had ambition. And she was just going around, probably preparing to settle down with her man, Joseph. It was all going so well. And then God turns up and changes it all. How would you respond? How would you respond having all your plans thrown out and suddenly plan what feels like plan B for you? Not the one you had designed. Maybe you've had that experience where everything's nicely sorted out and then all your plans are thrown in the air. Maybe sometimes that's because of relations. They can do it, can't they? You plan Christmas and then they suddenly say, oh, we're coming round. And you think, I haven't calculated enough turkey for you. There's other things that can change our plans greatly. Maybe a sudden health condition that stops you being able to do what you were planning on doing. But God coming in to a young girl and messing up her plans, what's that about? This change is going to be costly for Mary. This change will have fear and pain. The angel's words, do not be afraid, you have found favour with God, are probably words she needs to bury deep within her. Do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be afraid. You know, there's a story goes on. Herod's after a baby, and she's got to remember those words, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And maybe that other words we spoke, for no word from God will ever fail. But she's going to have to run as a refugee. And her change will have fear and pain. And this change will also cause a lifetime of trauma. After all, Jesus wasn't going to be the easiest child to have. He's going to challenge his parents. And ultimately cause depth of pain as they see their son crucified. And Mary doesn't say, well, God, could I stop and think about it for a while? Maybe you've done that with God. I know I have. God, you're saying what? I'll get back to you on that one. And maybe there's things you're still waiting to get back to God on because you're hoping God forgets. Mary's response was very simple. In verse 38, she simply says, I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. The unconditional acceptance that actually what Mary was the servant of God. And if God wanted something from her, then let it be fulfilled. There's such a huge amount of trust in that very phrase. And we don't know what would have happened if Mary said, well, not me, could you go and find somebody else, please? There's all sorts of questions that go around my mind sometimes on these stories, isn't it? What if Mary had said, actually, do you know what? I'd rather just get married and live quietly, thank you. But she didn't say that. There's a huge amount of trust in that phrase. I am the Lord's servant. The Lord's servant. God can use me for whatever he will purpose. A sense that actually she would be rather following God and doing what God wants than living her life a quiet luxury. And it went further than that because it said, may your word to me be fulfilled. Following God can be really, really costly. And you only need to look back in the New Testament to what happened to the apostles and look back in history as to what's happened to the church in past, to what's happening to the church today. Following God can be really costly. And I want to ask the question tonight, could we, as individuals, make that phrase, I am the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled? Could you say that? Or could you say that, Lord, yeah, I'm your servant. If you can make guarantee my security, then that's fine. I'll say yes. Or, yes, I'm the Lord's servant, but actually, as long as it doesn't cost me anything, I will say yes. Yes, I am the Lord's servant, as long as nobody attacks me or undermines me or whatever, we will say yes. Mary's response. If you look at the next few verses, which we're not going to read tonight, we see how God continues to work in Mary's life. And Elizabeth confirms the voice of the angel. But Mary's response, and in verse 45, we have the words, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Wow, blessed. Blessed. I wonder how many times Mary felt, oh, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have to now travel to Bethlehem. Maybe on a donkey. We don't really know what she was traveling on. Or, I'm really blessed now. My baby's been born and we're having to flee to Egypt. Oh, what a blessing this is. Yeah, it's blessed because God has his hand on her life and is going to use her. He's going to use her for his purposes. How does Mary continue to respond? Bren is going to come and take the story a bit further.
We're going to continue to read on from verse 46. And Mark said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors.
Thank you, Bren. Mary's song, that's often known as, or the Magnificat. My soul rejoices in God, my Saviour. My soul, the very heart of who Mary is, the very centre of her, is rejoicing in her Saviour. A digression, of course, many traditions believe that Mary was without sin. That's just not so. There is only one who's ever been without sin, and that is Jesus himself. Mary declares her need of a Saviour in this song that she writes. My soul rejoices in God, my Saviour. There is no sense of the cost to be paid coming out in this song. It's a sense that God's going to turn his world upside down. There's no bitterness for the inconvenience, just excitement that God is in control. There's no anger over the loss of plans or the unfulfilled hopes, just a contentment that God is using her and the deep privilege of being the servant of God. In a moment, we're going to break bread and share the cup, where we remember that baby that was promised by Gabriel to Mary, and Mary's willingness to be a part of the story. And Jesus grew up, grew to a man. He lived a life sinless, yet he was killed, crucified as a robber, a thief and a murderer, for things he hadn't done, but for the things we had done. The echo of Mary's, I am the Lord's servant, may your word to me be fulfilled, to me echoes also with that cry in the garden, Father, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And as we come to break bread again, I want to ask a question. What is God's will for your life that you've been pushing away? What's God's will for your life that you've been just counting the costs and becoming bitter about? Rather than just recognizing that what God can do is take you and use you, and he has a purpose for that life that he has given you. And as we come to take bread, and wine and receive again the promises of God for our lives, can we say, I am your servant, Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And tonight, that we stop fighting and let God fully take control again. Let us be quiet before we take bread and wine. Let us, in this moment of silence, just speak to God our own thoughts. Maybe you want to focus in on the passages we've read and your response to God.